Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. I'm Evan Brown. Crackdowns and funding withdrawals from college campuses in the wake of their perpetual anti-Semitic marches and violence, and yet it still happens, as seen from the Ivy League to the commuter schools. Why is it so ingrained?
So these human rights organizations completely co-opted by anti-Semitic narratives, whereas students used to parade around campus, calling attention to actual genocides, Rwanda, Darfur, Bosnia. Today, Palestine, 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 while real genocides are going completely unnoticed.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition. Despite changes in administrations and even with the weight of congressional hearings and the yanking of federal funding, there are still demonstrations on the campuses of some of this nation's most prestigious universities in which Jewish students and also faculty are threatened and even pursued. We saw it once again last week at Columbia in New York City with protesters, heads draped in keffiyeh-patterned scarves, harassing Jews inside the library as they studied for finals, and across town at Brooklyn College, a melee broke out in which police were also attacked. So how does it keep happening? Who's pushing the students to do this?
The instigators haven't been removed. And that is why we're seeing this again, precisely because it was not dealt with last year.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken is the executive vice president of the Coalition for Jewish Values based in New York. They're just one of the Jewish advocacy groups who have refused to stop sounding alarms over persistent and organized attempts to intimidate and threaten Jewish students on campus.
In the fashion that it is actually being dealt with now, at least look at Columbia, in Columbia's case. Yeah. Last year, the encampment was allowed to go on for weeks as Jewish students weren't able to get to class, were being yelled at and called genocidal occupiers just for living in Brooklyn, you know, etc. Whereas this year, the folks who took over that room in Butler Library, they were immediately fenced in, told you cannot leave until you show ID. And if they wouldn't show ID, they were arrested. So now we've got dozens of arrests, dozens of kids suspended, and they're being suspended right at the end of finals. I mean, this is not a good time to get an academic suspension on
if you're a student. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
And this is exactly what needed to be done last year. And, you know, if you're the Jewish Daily Forward, you try to pretend that this is not Donald Trump or a sign that his approach is failing because it happened again. Oh, no. Precisely the opposite is true. These kids are now facing real consequences. So I do not imagine that they're going to come back and do this in 2026. And that is due to the Trump administration. Finally, things are being done that are right.
There's been a change in attitude, I think, since there's been a change of administration. So you've seen the much more vocal stance against this, I think, from Trump administration officials. You've seen it a bit more empowered in Congress, I think, with the likes of New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, whose leadership on this has been exemplary and has certainly, I think, has sort of led to a resurgence for Republicans who have taken this stance. But also, I think, for Democrats, there have been, and perhaps maybe there's an argument that not enough Democrats have taken a hardline stance here, but there are Democrats who, and especially from New York, I mean, we've seen it with Hakeem Jeffries and Richard Torres, who have been rather vocal about this, that this is wrong and it has to stop. And they're fighting, I think, a force within their own party that has been way too permissive, they've been cheerleading it to a degree, the Rashida Tlaibs and the like.
The biggest problem is you have actual anti-Semites in the House Democratic Caucus. Mm. Ilhan Omar doesn't know this, but she's paraphrasing Mein Kampf with some of her rhetoric about Jews and Israel. And that's really where the problem is. When Chuck Schumer said last year to the then president of Columbia that their political problems are really only with Republicans, very sadly, he was not kidding. You have, like you said, Richie Torres, John Fetterman, people who are really leading on this issue. But last week when there was a hearing, it was called Beyond the Ivy League. It was non-Ivy League universities that have major anti-Semitic protests, specifically Haverford, DePaul, and Cal Poly. And the Democrats, with the exception of Haley Stevens, Haley Stevens was the right point, who said, you know, this is not political, this is not overkill, this has to be bipartisan. A lot of the Democrats were very sadly distracting. They were trying to call attention to January 6th. They were trying to say that Trump was praising Nazis in Charlottesville, which is completely untrue and has been debunked several times over, and is also completely irrelevant. Why couldn't they talk about anti-Semitism? It was left to the Republicans to ask the hard questions. And that's symptomatic of the problem. But we have a Republican administration now. So at least for the moment, it's being addressed. The problem is that Democrats have to come to their senses and say, no, we're not going to tolerate barbarism any more than Republicans do.
We need to talk a bit more about anti-Semitism. It's very easy to say all racism is bad because all racism is bad, right? But anti-Semitism is a very old racism, and it's a different kind of racism. Most racism is based on the belief that someone is, or another group of people is somehow inferior to you, and is should be subservient to you. Anti-Semitism is predicated on the idea that we are being held down by some kind of Jewish power structure. And therefore, if we were just to rid ourselves, our in air quotes, of this, everything would be okay. Our problems would be okay. This is the predicate for Nazi Germany. This had been the predicate for Haman in ancient Persia. I mean, this goes back thousands of years, and it's the same theme again. It happens to have some kind of either Islamist or Arab nationalist effect about it, but it's the same thing, isn't it?
It really is, and it operates with a certain subtlety that confuses people because it always manages to parade itself around as if it were tied to the highest values of society. Mm-hmm. This is a point that Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sacks made during his lifetime in front of the House of Lords, actually, as he was pointing out that most anti-Semites do not view themselves as anti-Semites. You have the same classic tropes and beliefs, like you referenced Haman in the book of Esther, preceded by Pharaoh confronting Moses, and even earlier than that, Laban, who was Jacob's father-in-law, coming out with these ideas that all Jewish property is acquired through fraud and deceit. The Jews are stealing. And even though it says thou shalt not steal in the Jewish Bible, well, the Jews believe that they're superior to everybody else, that chosen people stuff. So therefore, they're entitled to mistreat everybody else. Once you know those two tropes, you know the entire Palestine narrative. Everything about this idea that the Jews stole their own homeland from Arabs who were going to rename Palestinians, which, of course, is a European colonialist moniker for the Holy Land of the Jews, and really belongs to them, belongs to Arabs. You know, for 2,000 years, a Palestinian was a Jew, but never mind. See, this is the idea. You go back in history, and it used to be about religion. The highest value was religion. The Jews killed Jesus. Okay. You know, as if Jews today could be blamed for what Jews told the Romans to do. Nobody blames Romans for that. Italians today. The Catholicism is centered in Rome. They're not going to blame the Romans. They blame the Jews. Okay, good. And then you go to Germany, and it's all about science and the scientific study of race, which is to say racism, in which the Jews are the most inferior of all races, and we're going to get rid of them. Today, by the way, less than 100 years after the Holocaust, certain figures on the left are parading around claiming that Jews have white privilege. That's less than 100 years after Jews were exterminated for not being white. Now they're white. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, great. Because to be white is the less preferred class. See, it's always whatever they want to elevate, and today they claim it's about human rights. So these human rights organizations completely co-opted by anti-Semitic narratives, whereas students used to parade around campus, calling attention to actual genocides, Rwanda, Darfur, Bosnia. Today, Palestine, 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 while real genocides are going completely unnoticed.
Our guest is Rabbi Yaakov Menken, the executive vice president of the Coalition for Jewish Values. We are discussing the persistent anti-Semitism on college campuses and why attempts to stop not just protests, but violence have not been fully effective. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, please like and subscribe. We'll have more straight ahead.
Oh, tasty high note.
Oh, hi, don't mind me. I'm practicing my new baritone sax. I just heard PayPal's paying for people's stuff every day for 100 days, and there's 10 million up for grabs. All you have to do is use PayPal checkout online. So there's never been a better time to buy a few things off the old wish list. Like this leaf blower!
PayPal could pay for your purchase. The Great PayPal Checkout.
No purchase necessary. Ends July 18th. See official rules at paypal.com/thegreatpaypalcheckout/terms. Participating merchants only must use PayPal checkout online. Coverage of up to $100 and eligible purchases per card.
Here's the big question. How does this get fought? You know, you have your organization. Your organization is one of many doing as you do, getting in front of cameras and microphones and talking about it. At some point, something has to be done to stop this. Now, we've seen, for instance, especially with the Trump administration, the withholding of federal money to these elite institutions. Harvard has an endowment that could probably be, you know, tapped into to get by without the federal money. Brooklyn College may not. A little small, community college somewhere in the Midwest, you know, I'm talking about a hypothetical at this point, couldn't do that. So is this the way to fight this? Is it to strong arm, or is it to educate people as to what, you know, what this evil really is? Because it is an evil.
Well, these things both have to go together. And really, there's not a whole lot of room for patience with the universities right now. There's this organization, a national organization called Students for Justice in Palestine.
Yeah.
It exists on 150 campuses and is a center of anti-Semitic activity on every campus where it is found. In the immediate wake of the October 7th massacre in Israel, they produced a toolkit. National SJP produced a toolkit declaring that its members are not in solidarity with this movement, referring to the Hamas massacre, but are part of it. See, the Hamas massacre was committed in conjunction with Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, other terror organizations, and, according to National SJP, SJP. Which means that every SJP member on every campus is a terrorist, a murderer, a rapist, a kidnapper, a barbarian. Not one of these is a decent human being or a credible addition, a value add to the academic world. Look at what happened at Columbia. These are so-called students who have no interest in their own final exams or even anybody else's final exams, because they went in there to the Butler Library while people are trying to study for finals, deliberately to disturb them, to say it's more important to do mindless slogan yelling and taking over rooms and calling for genocide of Jews than it is to do academic work. As a result of that, applications to Harvard are down. There's reputational damage that is permanent. And by the way, if they were interested in actually weakening Israel and getting Israel to compromise, you know, this boycott Israel stuff has been met with Israel's economy exploding. So too, when they parade around campus, as they have been, they convinced Jewish students to transfer. And a lot of those transfers, they're going to the University of Florida, for example, but they're also going to Israel. Israeli universities are opening their doors wide to American transfer students due to anti-Semitic bigotry in the United States, which means all of those students are now going over to Israel to add their academic prowess to Israel, rather than the United States.
And not just
that
Jewish
is a US
Americans.
U.S. loss and Israel's gain.
And not just Jewish American students, too. We should point that out.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. It is not just Jewish students, but it is their allies who are leaving places like Columbia and Harvard where they won't be able to study in peace.
Right.
Okay, so they're going to go to a university which allows them to actually study. Villanova, Fordham, a lot of these places are religious. Hillsdale. You know, but you've also got places like the University of Florida where they just have zero tolerance for this nonsense. You put all of that together, The thing that SJP is doing is the very opposite of what they claim to want. They are strengthening Israel, strengthening Israel's academia and its economy, while weakening the United States and demolishing the Ivy League.
SJP is a campus group, but the other part of campus is the actual academia. It's the professors. It is the think tanks that headquarter themselves on these campuses that produce the curricula, which are not just necessarily kept in the Ivy League. I mean, you go to a smaller state school, they have adopted curricula from more prestigious universities and the like. That's how this business works. That's another part of the problem. How do we address that?
You know, 4 out of 5 of the largest foreign government donors to American universities are all anti-Semitic Arab states, led by Qatar. The fifth out of five is China, which is no friend either to freedoms and academia and democracy. So what is all this money being used for? Well, if you look on American campuses, look at the syllabus. If you find a course on Israel and Palestine, you know that university is placing anti-Semitic indoctrination ahead of actual history. There has never been a conflict between Israel and Palestine. There has never been a state called Palestine.
Right.
When the genocidal Arab armies gathered together in 1948 to massacre the Jews, they lost by, you know, their Nakba, their so-called disaster, is they fell 95% short on their genocidal goal. They gathered again in 1956, in 1967, in 1973. Let's kill all the Jews. And now they've captured this word Palestine. It's like a hermit crab. You know, they pick up a discarded shell and claim it as their own. Okay. The Jews stopped being described as Palestinians. They said, oh, yeah, the Palestinian is an Arab. And it's about Israel occupying land in Palestine. The whole thing is anti-Semitic stupidity from beginning to end. And yet this is being taught on campus after there was actually a seminar. My alma mater is Princeton.
Yeah.
And there was a seminar given at Princeton on herbicide, the destruction of an urban environment. What were they talking about? Jerusalem. Jews living in the holy city. By the way, Jerusalem means city of peace only in Hebrew. It has no meaning in any other language. Mm-hmm. It's the whole name of the city, like most places in the Holy Land, are the original names given to them in the Bible. And Jerusalem, the city of peace, is so called because it was called that in the Bible. And it's this, you know, the city of David and the old city of Jerusalem. That's called that is herbicide if Jews are allowed to live there again and run the urban development of that city. It is, of course, developed to an unbelievable degree since the Israelis have taken over the city. The very opposite is being taught as fact in a graduate seminar at Princeton University. What does that tell you?
Rabbi Yaakov Menken of the Coalition for Jewish Values, thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hey, I'm Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. I hope you will join me every Tuesday and Thursday as we navigate life together and hopefully find ourselves a little bit better on the other side.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.